Good evening. You are tuned to KGVM Bozeman. We are Gallatin Valley Community Radio. You can find us on your radio dial at 95.9 FM. You can find us online at kgvm.org, and you can listen to our programming there. Let's hear a couple messages, and then it is time for the Local Musician Spotlight. On Wednesday, March 18th, Loken Productions presents an evening of acoustic music at Blunderbuss, featuring Jason McHugh and Jory Appadale. Jason McHugh, an indie folk musician, will be playing songs from his new release, Wasteland. He'll be joined on the bill by Bozeman's own Jory Appadale for an acoustic set. Doors open at 6 p.m. for a pizza meet and greet, and the show starts at 7:30. That's an acoustic show by Jason McHugh and Jory Appadale on Wednesday, March 18th at Blunderbuss on Love Lane, presented by Loken Productions.
And as I turn to wave to him, he shows his face that's melting off, just like it's ice starting to thaw.
All right, it was no coincidence that I chose that promo to open up the show tonight, as Jory's in the studio with me here. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me once again.
All right. Yeah, I thought this would be a good time. Of course, Jory was here three months ago, I guess.
Yep, I think so.
Playing some Anephron's music here in the studio, and that was a really fun show, I thought. But tonight, maybe you're planning to do a little bit more, a little more subdued, a little quieter set for us. Is that right?
Absolutely right. Yeah, you bet.
Kind of line up with what you're planning to play for the set out at Blunderbuss next week?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is kind of what you'd expect for that set as well. Yeah,
cool.
Some of the same material tonight.
Cool. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I haven't made it out to Blunderbuss yet. They kind of build themselves as a, I guess, sort of an artist collective and a maker space for the arts out there.
That's right. I still haven't been myself either.
Yeah, it's. Cool. I think it should be pretty fun.
Yeah.
Go check it out. Go see what Pat Loken's got up out there. So, yeah, I guess maybe just to get started, if you want to play a song or two, and then we'll chat for a little bit.
Absolutely. This is a track called Morning.
Morning light.
You said that was called Morning?
Yes, it's the first track on my second Ineffrens album, actually, called In the Hours Beneath. It was released December 1st of 2016. So it's kind of just a softer rendition of it.
Yeah.
So
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to play another one.
Sure. This is a track called Awake. When will I call on you? It is a silent road. Here with false ideas, you are still unknown. What do I long for? What is there to find? Play cold and ill prepared. Have you brought me here? Will I know your voice? What do I long for?
Cool. Was that around the same vintage as the first song?
It was actually on the next album, which was about a year and a half later. Oh. So that's kind of an oddity on the on that new album. Just it's definitely the softest song on the record. So kind of fits well in a more of acoustics setting. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So how often do you have you played out acoustic stuff very much?
I played a handful of gigs. Like I try and play open mic like every other week at the Hofbräu doing this sort of stuff. I've also played a really small and intimate show at when I was still living in Minnesota. It was up in Duluth, Minnesota at this coffee roaster's place. There's actually like the giant like roasting machine right next to where we played. It was just me and a couple of people, and we capped it. It was like a 50 person capacity, and so that's, you know, we sold all 50 tickets, and it was just this cool little intimate show, and I played some of these songs. So
yeah,
really nice. Special thing. That's really the only, I guess, professional like soft show, except for random brewery gigs. I played just a couple Sundays ago, actually, at Blackfoot River Brewing Company in Helena.
No,
this kind of stuff. But a lot of covers I sing for that kind of thing, more people pleasing things. Not that my music isn't pleasing to people, but they don't necessarily know it. So
yeah, that's kind of a weird. I would imagine a little bit of a weird line to walk. I know. Mm-hmm. I personally, if I'm going out to see somebody, I'd a lot rather hear some of their stuff than hear them do somebody else's. But I think I'm in the minority there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I don't know what the deal is with that. I mean, like, at the same time, though, yeah, like, playing a gig like that, it's, you know, 2 hours of music. And so, like, I maybe have 2 hours of music total. But yeah, that's not, like, most of that's not even acoustic compatible anyway. So,
yeah. Kind of be a real stretch there.
Huh? Right. So,
cool. So, kind of looking forward to this show with Jason McHugh, and he's a kind of a folk, I think, kind of finger style and acoustic guitarist. Mm-hmm. Too.
Yeah.
So
really, really interesting picker. I'm excited to see him play him.
So. Yeah. We were geeking out before the show a little bit. Jerry's got this really cool guitar. Maybe you can tell us a little bit about the.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is a 1945 Gibson E125. It's a hollow body guitar with a stock pickup in it. I think it's one of the first years they actually put pickups in their guitars like this. Don't quote me on that, but I inherited this guitar from my great grandfather when he passed. And he was a dude rancher, an old country western musician. And this is a well loved guitar that he played. And now it's never going to leave the family. Actually, what's really cool things I was just showing Bob is that my grandfather only played, since he, you know, just played bar chords and just, you know, finger picking style things just for rhythm guitar. He only played on the first 4 frets or so of this guitar, so you can see very clearly where his hand and thumb wore away the lacquer on the couple top frets of the neck. It's a really cool piece of history to be holding in my hands, and it's a pleasure to play. So
yeah. Yeah, it looks like it had some miles on. Absolutely. It to wear the back of the neck like that. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, it's a beautiful sounding guitar, I think.
Yeah. So. But sounds okay over the air here.
Yeah, I think it's coming through great. We were talking a little bit. You're getting set to go on tour, and that'll be more electric.
Yep, that's going to be full blown metal stuff. Yeah. So, and actually, I can actually say who I'm touring with. I think last time I was on the air, I wasn't able to say it because it wasn't technically announced yet. But I am touring with Austrian band Harakiri for the Sky. It's their first ever U.S. tour. And also joining us on the road is Canadian band Numenorian, which are also a fantastic group of people. Their music is really emotive and cool. It's going to be a really fun time to be able to see both those bands and play with them every night. So
nice.
Yeah.
How long is the tour scheduled for?
So I'm trying to see if I can book some more dates on my own just to get me back westward. But the tour starts May 27th. I'm playing the Northwest Terror Fest pre-show, which is kind of a big deal. I'm really excited for that. And then it ends in Montreal June 13th. And so, you know, a couple weeks. And it's probably going to take me another week or more to get back to Montana or wherever I'm going to end up as well. So
yeah.
So, yeah, cool. Should be a fun start to the summer, nonetheless.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good way to kind of kick things off. And that time of year is, you know, once you get out of here, it probably won't snow anywhere.
Right. It's not going to be the full-blown heat of summer, too.
Right.
So I'm going to have the AC on when I take a little car nap if I'm tired on the road. So.
Yeah. When I moved out east for a couple of years, and being from here, it was pretty brutal. Yeah. In the summer. I didn't know humidity got that high.
So. Oh, it's nuts. Even in just Minneapolis area, when I first moved over there, I'm like, whoa, this is nuts. So much humidity. I guess there's so many lakes over there. But yeah.
Yeah. I guess you don't need to worry about humidifying your guitar, but
right.
That's about it.
Exactly.
Cool. So we're talking, you've been kind of getting prepped for this trip, haven't been playing out a lot. You've been getting ready for the tour.
And yeah, not as much. And I've been trying to, when I have time, work on some new recordings. I originally planned or at least hoped to have material recorded for a new album before I left on the road. But, you know, how time goes and a lot of great ideas are there. It's just taking the time to make it all realized and recorded instead of just, you know,
shoddy demo stages of things. So we'll see what I can achieve before I hit the road in May. But I'd like to have maybe at least one new song to play live, just to tease a little bit, kind of create some buzz for the new album. So
yeah, that'd be good. We'll see. Cool. So if you're sitting around and stuff, how often do you kind of gravitate toward doing some of the more acoustic and quieter stuff versus maybe some of the metal stuff if you're just sitting around composing or writing songs?
You know, I honestly, it's really about half and half, you know. Like I always like start out, like when I turn my amplifier on, I usually start out on a clean tone and just kind of warm up a little bit and see if I can discover anything pretty or just like come up with some new chord progression or something. And then after a while, I usually switch over to the heavy channel and get that out of my system. But it's interesting. I mean, metal and heavy music is such a big part of my life. But I feel like, honestly, in the last couple of years, maybe just the last year and a half, I've been really diving into a lot of more soft and like almost pop-oriented things. I'm really interested in that sort of songwriting lately. And maybe something will show for that. And then in the coming years, I want to see if I can maybe start another project, just see what I can do that's outside of the realm of metal. So
yeah. See where it grows into.
Absolutely. So
do you find, you said you kind of, you'll maybe do that, but then you kind of turn the amp up loud and get a little heavy in that to get it out of your system. Do you find that maybe a little more cathartic to do?
I don't know. I mean, it really depends on the mood. Some days where I only want to just like make, you know, metal music. I mean, it is a beautiful experience just to be loud and just have like, even though like the tone is kind of abrasive, the melodies I always play within that like distorted sound is really beautiful. And so,
yeah,
I like finding a balance within that. So
that's true. I think that's probably one of the things I really appreciated about your albums is that I haven't listened to a lot of metal for a long time, and a lot of what I listened to before was like the awful hairband stuff. And
But I
like that mix where, you know, the tones might be loud and a lot of distortion and stuff, but the, you know, there is a melody there that's like intricate and not super dissonant and stuff. I think that's a nice mix.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, whether or not like, so like on several attempts, I've tried to make Anephron's songs that were a lot more dissonant and a lot more out there, but I guess I just am learning that I know myself too well to really do that super well, because melody always triumphs over everything. I'm like, oh, but what if I just play this? This is so beautiful. I can't not do this. So, I don't know. So that's, well, maybe sometime you'll get a totally dissonant, really weird track. That's an efference. But I will say, like, my other solo project I released last summer, it's a raw black metal album called As If Sunlight Could Warm the Deceased by Hyalith. That's the moniker for that band. That's much more abrasive and gross, and I kind of, that was a really interesting thing that I felt like I needed to get out of my system and just try out. I think it turned out really well. But just within the Anephron's frame, I guess that sound is kind of taking shape, and it's not as dissonant as I nearly anticipated previously. So
yeah, that's interesting.
So yeah,
it's I guess it stands to reason that some days when you're writing and practicing and playing and stuff, you'll be in different moods, because I'm
absolutely
certainly in different moods when I'm listening to music. It's like some days you want something loud, and some days maybe it's something a little easier to.
Right. Yeah. Variety is really the spice of life. I like that a lot. You know, I like all sorts of things. So.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. So you said you've got material that just needs to be like polished up and stuff for an album.
Essentially. Yeah. I mean, I have like not full-fledged songs, but a lot of the ideas are there. I just got to piece them together, essentially. Like I kind of know the flow and kind of just the shape of the record's going to take. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's just going to take a lot of, like, essentially creative glue to make it all come together. So, yeah.
Is that something you'd hoping that maybe that'll happen this year?
Or? Absolutely, yeah. I mean, if not, like, most of it before tour this year, definitely, like, in the fall and early winter, I want to try and finish it and get it done. So,
yeah.
Cool.
Is that, are you kind of conscious of that, trying to keep a semi-regular schedule of releases, or do you just kind of let the chips fall where they may? And
maybe to a fault, actually, because I feel like I have to like release at least something like every year, if at all possible. Like 2018 was my last Anephrons album. Last year I released the Hyalith black metal record. This year I haven't released anything yet, and we're already in March. So I'm like, well, I don't know. I think it's just it's a personal motivator to just stay productive and just try and continue to put stuff out there in any shape or form. So
yeah,
it kind of drives me to create, even though it's not healthy all the time. Sometimes I feel a little bit of pressure on myself to get things done. But at the same time, like trying to set like, you know, short-term goals for achieving things keeps me in check. Otherwise, it'd probably take me three years to record an album because I would just be nitpicky and not conscious of time and just sit on it for a long time.
Yeah, I think that'd be interesting to know, because this might be completely wrong, but it seems to me, looking at like releases from bands and stuff, that you know, in the 60s and 70s in particular, it was, you know, once a year, maybe more often, people were just slamming out albums, and you know, you had to keep something new coming out. And it seems like now people take more time sometimes, and longer gaps between albums and stuff. And it'd be interesting to know how much of that, and again, this might be a perception thing, but I think a lot of people are kind of doing more of their own, you know, they're doing their own or independently releasing albums. They're not going through a record label or somebody that might be maybe given some extra pressure for that schedule.
Oh, exactly. Yeah. So, but even so, I think some of the bigger bands, I think they're kind of just on like a cycle where they record an album and then they tour it, you know, for a couple of years, and then they make a new album, just do it all over again. I think that's
That's probably
something
true
that's really a trend, at least some of the bands I've been following. But
yeah.
So
cool. But yeah, I want to
play another song.
Play
for
another
you.
One for you.
Yeah, this is a song I wrote really long time ago. I haven't really found a use for it anywhere. So it's called Faint. White as snow, by the ways you run and slow. Faith, I'm not as strong, but your embrace has called me home. So say you're bored out, take your while to make it late, and I will tell you love's misfortune past the gate. Thank you.
snow, and by the waves you run in slow.
I'm glad that one found a place here tonight. I like that.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, I want to say I wrote that in 2013. Yeah. So
it's just kind of hanging out there in the background waiting for opportunities.
So. Right, yeah. I mean, it's just kind of different than a lot of stuff that I've written. So
yeah.
Maybe I'll explore sounds similar to that, put something together. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if you want to play another.
Sure, I've got another short one. I actually have a little story to preface this one. So, I did this thing my senior year of college. I don't know why I did it, because I didn't get any sleep as it was. So I was working 30 hours a week and having a full class load with my senior project and everything. But I did this thing four nights in a row, and I called it the witching hour sessions, essentially. Like, so basically, I would stay up until 2 a.m., and then between 2 a.m. and 3 a.m., I would try to see if I could write, record, and finish a song in an hour. Just put myself in freak pressure mode and see if anything creative and weird would come out. Also, like, I always found that, in the wee hours of the night, little peaks of brilliance always seemed to happen to me. So, I don't know. It was kind of an interesting experience. Like, the first night was just a instrumental guitar piece. The second one was kind of this more ambient, not quite harsh noise, but like really kind of textural sort of thing. The next one was more like a melodic synth sort of deal. And then the last one, which is my personal favorite, the one I'm going to play you now, is this little, very short song that I came up with, and it's called Winter's Halo. So see what you think of this.
Coldest light changed my life. Say goodbye, love and time. I've fallen from myself inside. Decanter all my dreams this time. The ripple of the ocean's tide, hanging low, gather slow. Seldom can make you go.
That wasn't a bad hour's work, I'd have to say.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. Yeah. Also something very different than I've done before. But this is all before I started Anephrens or any of the, you know, serious metal projects at all. So I was kind of just exploring all sorts of things at the time. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Just see where things, what things might develop. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. there were just different elements of that the vocal, right, when you started singing, it's like, I just had this real flash. I don't know, maybe this is not a great thing to say, but
yeah,
it really reminded me of Helpless by Neil Young.
Oh, interesting.
Right when you first started singing.
Okay, yeah, that I can see that.
Kind of high, and it's like, and I mean, that's one of my favorite parts of that song. It's like, oh, that's, and then it went in, you know, its whole different, its own way and stuff, but it's just,
right.
I think, you know, that's, music fascinates me, just all of the different, and the different things that you might discover out of a song.
Sure.
On multiple listens, like, you know, mm-hmm. I could listen to a song over and over and over again, and all of a sudden it's like, wow, I never
like
either noticed that or never put things together quite that way.
Right, absolutely, yeah. So, I think a big inspiration for that song, as I was listening to Bon Iver's first album over and over, For Emma Forever Go, just his like falsetto sort of thing,
yeah,
with soft guitar, it was really awesome. So yeah, that might have crept into the inspiration.
I might have.
No doubt. So
when you're putting a song together, how conscious are you of things like that that might be influences? Are you conscious of that very much?
Oh, I'm or is like, it overly conscious about that because I don't want to be accused of ripping anyone off, really, you know? So
yeah.
I try and make everything sound as original as possible, but, you know, I don't know. I mean, people have compared me to, like, sounding, especially in Nefren's, like, sounding similar to some of my favorite bands. I mean, the influence is definitely there, but I think, I mean, I like to think at least I'm not just ripping off, like, melodies or direct, you know, chord progressions and stuff like that. I'm just taking that inspiration and that sound and kind of just making it into something a little bit different.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the whole approach. When I'm, like, really hyper aware of, like, when just especially coming up with, like, leads and stuff like that, like, I'm just like, does this remind me of anything at all? Like, there's a couple of leads that I've, like, written. I'm like, oh, this sounds really great. Why does this sound so familiar, though? And then, like, I listen to one of my favorite Alcest records. I'm like, oh, that's it right there. Shoot, okay. Let's change that. Let's not do that. So,
yeah, I've got to imagine that's probably pretty hard. You probably have to be pretty careful to check that because,
right, yeah,
you know, those things that you, especially things that you listen to a lot, kind of,
or even just subconsciously
ingrained into you, right?
Yes, it's like, exactly. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, if you want to play another one? Or?
Sure, yeah. So this is, I released, back when I first moved to Minneapolis, I released a four-track acoustic EP called Eventide, and it was a reactionary thing to something that happened to me. I was burglarized in my apartment, actually, over there, and they got away with, you know, four of my guitars and a hard drive and all sorts of stuff. And I had insurance, but they didn't really, like, the deductible was so high that I didn't have hardly any money to, like, replace the gear that was stolen. So I did a GoFundMe, but at the same time, I recorded this four-track EP with my acoustic guitar in, like, a span of a day and a half just to, like, say, you know, hey, if you're able to help me out, I will give you this music as a thank you, you know. And so I ended up raising a pretty okay amount of money. I'm still really grateful for everyone who helped me out in that time of need. It was really, really something. But the last track on that EP is a cover of one of my favorite songs, one of my favorite artists, 40 Watt Sun, songwriter name of Patrick Walker. And this song just always really hits home for me. Also, really cool story about this particular artist is for my birthday this last year, one of my dear friends over in Massachusetts got me a birthday present, and it was an LP of a 40 Watt Sun record, and that was, like, amazing enough just by itself. But with that, like, she ordered it directly from Patrick Walker, and he's like, oh, is that the same Jory that covered my song when his gear got stolen? And she told me this, and I'm just like, wow, he knows who I am? Okay. I'm kind of, like, starstruck. And so I opened up the package. The record was in there, but also this signed photograph from him himself, and it had a quote, a lyric from handwritten from that song that I covered, and he said, you know, to Jory, warmest wishes, Patrick Walker. And so that I have that framed in my studio room now, and that's such a beautiful gift. Like, it's really cool that he wasn't mad that I, you know, used his song for
yeah,
something that really was painful and meant a lot to me. So I'm really grateful for everyone involved with that. Really cool. So anyways, without further ado, this is Restless.
That lies is like scars upon my face. But I will say for you, anything you need to hear, I mean. Size and keep it for as long as you need it. I mean it. I mean it. Take the longing from me. I won't see you changing. Should you remember me somehow? What in the world would make me feel that way when nothing on earth would make me now? All I wanted was something that I have never seen, and all that I ever offered was something that I have never been. Any part you need, my love, I mean it, I mean it. Take the longing from these restless sighs and keep it for as long as you need it. I mean it. I mean it. Take the longing from me. I can make things right, babe, but you know that I will try. Say that I waited from now till forever. Say that my tongue should never speak. Say that I stayed here, lay down beside you. Say that I buried my mouth in your hair.
So is the song on the album a little louder, or is it a kind of a quiet song like that?
The original song?
Yeah.
It's actually essentially a doom metal song, but he sings them. It's not like you're like really hard doom that where there's screams. It's he's kind of like, he's an Irish, I want to say, just like, he's basically a songwriter who just has this really knack for, like, really great knack for melodies and really sad lyrics, but he just chose, like, doom metal as his outlet for it. It's really slow and subdued. It's all distorted, but his most recent record under the name 40 Watt Sun is a lot more quiet and subdued, which is really interesting and really fitting for his voice. So
yeah,
started out as a heavy project, but it's kind of branching into softer territory now, which is really cool. So nice. Yeah.
Nice. So the album that you're working on this year, it'll be an Indifference album?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, so the last one was released October 27th of 2018, and so I feel like it's about time. I mean, I'm kind of just aching to do something with Indifference, that sort of mindset again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm excited. I feel like, even though I'm really proud of like the record I released in 2018, but even still with my mindset currently, I feel like I've grown and matured musically since that as well. So I'm really excited to see what comes out this time around. So
it won't be just kind of part two of that same album. It's going to be a little,
it's going to sound like an
beyond that a little,
right? Yeah. My hope is to just grow and branch out, like kind of broaden my influences even further with each release that I do, with Indifference. It's kind of the all encompassing like statement of who I am, I think. And so,
yeah.
I'm excited. I mean, I've discovered a lot of new bands since then too that have really inspired me to kind of maybe think of things from a different angle too. So
yeah. Have you had people in your as you've come out with these new albums and kind of new compositions and stuff? People that go, gee, doesn't sound like the first album, and I wish it did. Or
I'm sure glad it doesn't sound like the first album, because I think, I don't know. I mean, although it's not bad, it's a cool snapshot in time. I think I've grown a lot since that. But you know what? There are people, I mean, I can't please everybody out there, but
sure,
overall the experience from like the response from my new album has been pretty positive.
Yeah.
A lot of people were hoping for more of like the real black metal sort of thing, but like some of, you know, my soft, beautiful things came in a little bit stronger on the new record, but
yeah,
it's still plenty heavy. You know, it's a good balance. That's kind of the key to
the
Indifference sound, I guess. But
I think that it seems to me like that could be pretty frustrating as a musician. Just, you know, there's always that, you know, the familiarity and the comfort that you can get into with the sound, and people want to just like, you know, people like to go and hear the same classic rock songs over and over again.
Oh, yeah, right.
And just want things to stay the same. It's like, it's, you know, I could imagine that could get a little trying if people wanted you to stick with the formula, and the formula was had lived its time.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, I just feel like I need to grow and try different things, although I can still stay rooted within, you know, my main sound. But at the same time, there are bands out there that have albums that all sound the same, and I love them all like so much. Like,
sure.
If they find the formula that works for them, that's fantastic. I don't know if I found that yet for myself or if I will. That's fine. So
yeah. Well, I think it's great if you never find it. I think
it's always
the search is the thing. Maybe.
Oh, it's one of the most fun parts of the whole process. Is just, you know, like, oh, I didn't know that I could ever sound like this. Maybe, you know,
right.
Just like, yeah. Oh, this is thinking out of the box. This is really something. So
cool. Well, if you're just tuning in, didn't catch the start, we are here at KGVM with Jory Appadale for the Local Musician Spotlight, and talking about, you know, the kind of his quieter music and set that he's got coming up here next Wednesday night, as a matter of fact. So you get a pass if you don't listen to Local Musician Spotlight next week. You can go to Blunderbuss and check him out live if you like this.
Absolutely.
So yeah, you got another.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm gonna play my favorite Elliott Smith song. Actually, that's all right.
Cool. Yeah.
Here we go.
Baby, stay up all night with the things you could do. You won't, but you might. The potential you'll be that you'll never see. The promises you'll only make. Drink up with me now and forget all about the pressure of days. Do what I say and I'll make you okay and drive them away. The image is stuck in your head. People, you've been before that you don't want around anymore. That push and shove and won't bend to your will. I'll keep them still. Drink up, baby. Look at the stars. I'll kiss you again between the bars when I'm seeing you there with your hands in the air, waiting to finally be caught. Drink up one more time and I'll make you mine. Keep you apart deep in my heart, separate from the rest, where I like you the best. Keep the things you forgot, the people you've been before that you don't want around anymore. That push and shove and won't bend to your will. I'll keep them still.
That's nice.
Thank you. Yeah.
I was just thinking, I've noticed kind of like some of your album cover art and stuff seems to have a connection with, you know, the outdoors and
yep, absolutely.
How big a part of your inspiration is that when you're working on songs and stuff? Does that charge you up when you're getting ideas?
Absolutely. It's like, honestly, one of the big draws to moving back to Montana after Minnesota. I mean, the wilderness in Minnesota is lovely and everything, but I'm just drawn to the mountains and things like that in particular. A lot of, you know, coniferous trees and just mountain streams and stuff like that. And I usually, if I'm able to, I go out into the woods or somewhere remote to write my lyrics for Ineference and stuff like that. I just feel like I can breathe a little bit, you know, breathe in that fresh air and just focus in and just really be more in tune with my thoughts. And nature's just really validating in that regard for me, and I really appreciate it.
So, yeah. It's you grew up around here.
I did, yeah. I grew up in Billings, actually. Yeah. I came here for college in 2010, so.
Yeah. It's, I've had interesting experiences with friends that grew up in an urban environment, and I think for some of them, the prospect of going out in the woods where it's that quiet is not a reinvigorating thing. It's the opposite.
Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I am the opposite. I mean, I spent 2 years in the city over in Minneapolis, and I constantly wanted to just get out and just be around less people all the time. I just feel like I have the opposite mindset. I appreciate just having that silence, and I'm really comfortable with it. So
yeah.
Like ruralness. So
yeah, it's apparently not for everybody, but if it's for you, the opposite is, I always find that really tough being in a very urban environment. It's like, whew, man, it just never quiets down. And,
right. Well, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, we've got time for another one.
Okay, yeah. So this is a song my friend Spencer wrote, who lives in Missoula. I really wish that I had written this song because I think it's really, really good. So. It's called Maureen. I can't take it anymore, watching all around again. We've been drawing since a year before. The days keep turning the morning. It won't turn this. Cigarettes, thank God I'm worn out. You say you have to leave. You don't mean the country.
silhouette of yourself you've been torn now. But you sure been a friend to me, Maureen. Wisconsin, is this what you wanted? You've got the wrong ones. Please stop, I'm not strong. And I am the wrong son. And you've got the wrong ones. If you ever cross a frozen stream, well, I am the ice beneath you. And I crack when you need me. Crack when you need me. Wisconsin, I know you're long gone, but you've got the wrong ones. Stop, I'm not strong, and I am the wrong son, and you've got the wrong ones. If you ever cross a frozen stream, well, I am the ice beneath you, and I crack when you need me. Maureen. Maureen, I'm sorry, Maureen.
I think we need to thank Spencer for that song.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Spencer. That's a great song.
That is. Cool. We've got about 3.5 minutes left. Do you have anything that will fit in there?
Sure. Yeah, actually. This is another cover, if that's all right with you. It's a song that came out last year that I've been listening to over and over, and it's a lot sweeter than something I would write, but I just can't help but like it so much. So here we go.
You close to me, I could always see a house by the ocean. Last night I could hear the waves, I could hear you say, all that I want is to be yours. Falling in love, falling in love, deeper than I felt before. With you, baby, I feel like falling in love with all my heart. Back when you were far away, we would go on dates, watch the same movie, and you were imagining sitting next to me, holding my hand through the whole thing. Falling in love, falling in love, deeper than I felt before. With you, baby, I feel I'm falling in love with all my heart. Falling in love, falling in love, deeper than I felt before with you, baby. I feel like falling in love with all my heart.
Well, you've been tuned in to the Local Musician Spotlight. Jory Appadale was in the studio with me tonight, and great show. And I want to remind everybody, next Wednesday night at Blunderbuss out there on Love Lane, Jory will be doing a show with Jason McHugh. I think he's out of Seattle.
Is that right?
And yep. Loken Productions putting that on, so you can find out about it on the Facebooks or online, or just show up out at Blunderbuss. And I believe there's supposed to be pizza beforehand. And
I'm hearing, yep.
Yeah, so it should be a fun show. So get out and see shows, people. And we've got Forrest coming up next.